own, guaranteed. President addresses the nation for 13 minutes, wrapping up Afghanistan, saying that the surge troops will all be gone by next summer, just a couple of months ahead of the vote for the president in our next election cycle. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. That's the name of this little old show as we veer right, left, and all those spaces in between. You have a chance to sound off, of course. It is water cooler buzz on the overnight highway. At least we like to think of it that way. We hope you do, too. So dial the digits on Afghanistan. What say you, America? Were you surprised by what you heard from the president or no? This was kind of the pregame thing that we were telling you about. 10,000 troops withdrawn by the end of this year. 23,000 by the end of 2012. They're the surge troops. That's the number. That leaves 70,000 troops still in place in Afghanistan. One of the quotes that I would pluck out of what he had to say was, "We've put Al-Qaeda on a path to defeat, and we will not relent until the job is done." So we won't relent until the job is done. Does that mean the job is done in Afghanistan, which is dangerously close to Pakistan? The generals, commanders, the military folks, not happy with this at all, including the outgoing Secretary of Defense, who thinks it's too fragile to start pulling troops out. The withdrawal, some on the field would say, could leave Kabul ill-equipped. That's the word that's being thrown around, to keep the Taliban away, and any of the extremists for that matter, because remember, it's not just the Taliban. Al-Qaeda especially would be the one who would group that would get their tentacles in there, and they have. Obama says, we're not going to let Afghanistan become a safe haven for terrorists. The only time he used the word victory was when he talked about Osama bin Laden, saying that that was a victory. That's why we were in Afghanistan. And also said that Al-Qaeda is under enormous strain. The president reached, apparently, his withdrawal decision after he reviewed what they're calling substantial progress made toward the goals, denying Al-Qaeda a safe haven in Afghanistan, reversing the Taliban's momentum so they can't topple the government, and training Afghan security forces. So here's the thing. The Taliban's momentum. How quickly will the Taliban ramp up anyway once the U.S. and any NATO forces are out of Afghanistan? The problem with Afghanistan from the beginning was one that Henry Kissinger was aware of when he said, when you go into an insurgency of this type, the guerrilla army wins. How do they win? By just not losing. The conventional army loses by not winning. So based on what's happened in Afghanistan, what do you say? Have we put up a W? How much money has been spent? Well, too much to count. The war is costing $100 billion, actually more than that. I heard it's closer to $120 billion a year. Did we accomplish what we set out to accomplish? The three things that I mentioned. Do you think there is substantial progress that is being made? Let's face it. The real terrorist threat at this point is coming from Pakistan. How many times did we have ex-defense people come on the show and say, Pakistan, Pakistan, Pakistan? Almost from day one, since I started doing America Tonight. because we're talking about a war, an effort that has been going on for 10 years, a milestone, if you will, when we surpassed the Soviet invasion, which was a debacle in the end, 9 years, so we've been there 10 years. I know a lot of people compare the two, what happened with the Soviets and what's happening with us, but the reasons were different. So at this point, in leaving and leaving 70,000, it's more like a manipulation. It's more like being careful, cautious in an election year. Oh, we're going to make some people mad by withdrawing troops at all, but then it's not enough troops for some, so we got to find a place in the middle. The generals, the commanders, are not happy with this at all. What was the purpose here? Squeezing the Taliban. But is the Taliban really squeezed out? You know, there have been meetings with the Taliban. People forget that. It's not that the Taliban have not had any meetings whatsoever. They've had these so-called peacekeeping talks. But the Taliban doesn't want to play because they realize they can just wait it out. And once everybody's gone, they'll go back to what it was. Remember, this is a country where they're not trying. I don't think the people are trying to grab on to Western ways. That's not what's happening here. So has this been a huge waste of time, money, and troops' lives and limbs from the beginning? Wasn't the war in Afghanistan unwinnable? And don't we need some serious thought into pulling the troops out of there now, all of them, and not throw more money, not waste the lives of the soldiers? What do you think? 800-259-5791. I think the bottom line is what I said, is that you're talking about 7th century type of people. Islam could not be more repressive. They like the way they are living. They like the way they're living. They're not trying to grab on, as I said before, to Western ways. That's not happening. So the whole idea of, I don't know, giving these people peace or prosperity, getting the Taliban out, it's going to boomerang back to what it was. Because this is also different than Iraq. And there was definite pressure, bipartisan pressure, to get out of Afghanistan. But then there was that pressure to also not leave too quickly. So by leaving remaining troops, how much pressure is being put on them? Ugh. All right, we're going to kick it around some more coming up around the bend.
Are you a leader or board member of a newer nonprofit? Then you're building your nonprofit while wondering, are we doing this right? Well, stop wondering and start listening. Tune into WebTalkRadio.net and Nonprofit Spark to hear nuts and bolts advice about fundraising, planning, finances, and more. The conversations are geared to newer leaders like you. So boost your nonprofit know-how and confidence. Tune into WebTalkRadio.net and Nonprofit Spark today.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
If you're concerned about radiation poisoning from Japan in the air, water, or food and can't find potassium iodide, go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com and choose Liquid Zeolite. Liquid Zeolite is hands down the best product to remove radiation from your body and safely removes toxins, heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. For fatigue, muscle weakness, headaches, memory loss, influenza, joint pain, or toxic radiation poisoning, use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Liquid Zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. Call 800-880-9976 today and learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite.
All right, a quickie preview of what's coming up on our next show. Don't forget we have our cheap movie reviews. Cars 2 at the theaters, if you like the first one. I don't know, this might be a sequel I would skip. I'm just saying. But we're going to let you hear a little snippet of it in our next show, and plus some other things that are coming out. We're hitting the high season for movies. Kids are out of school, so some of the kid movies are a little bit better. You have sequels that are out, like the Pirates of the Caribbean, the fourth installment that's already released, but steadily more people are going to see it because the kids are done. And, of course, Harry Potter. There's a lot of anticipation for Harry Potter. If you've gone to any movies lately, you might have seen some of the trailers for the Potter flick. This is the last installment of it. I still love the story. J.K. Rowling sitting around at a coffee shop with 2 cents in her pocket on unemployment, writing these books that fell into the right literary agent's hands and became gold, more than gold. She's one of the wealthiest women in the UK. Crazy. Crazy what can happen, right? All right, as we roll on here on America Tonight, I think you pretty much have my thoughts on Afghanistan. You know, this is playing the middle. I got to get the votes. I can't appease everybody. I did say I was going to withdraw from Afghanistan, so I'm going to withdraw. But this is how we're going to do it, just a little bit here, and yet the generals are saying, okay, great, that's nice. So you withdraw all of those troops, the so-called surge troops, which they were there to help the other troops. You withdraw them by the end of the summer, and then you leave 70,000 still there. So what happens to them? Who has their back? Because it's not enough. It does come down to, and I imagine it's frustrating with the military. You can tell. When you talk to really military folks who have gone, I mean, the hardcore who have their entire life dedicated themselves to the military and they've worked their way up through the various ranks and gone through what you have to go through in the military. And that's their specialty. I mean, this is their bag. They know it backwards and forwards. I mean, some of the best generals that we've ever, ever had. So for 15 minutes, less than 15 minutes, the president talks about Afghanistan. There wasn't a real true blueprint. I guess if you just count, okay, here's the numbers, here's what we're doing. But no mention really clearly, and in fact avoidance of, did we win? We won, got bin Laden, have gone a long way to exterminating the Taliban, and really now the fight is in Pakistan. I think that we won't be surprised, but what we'll see that will happen in that country once there's a complete withdrawal. And you can bet there's going to be some conversation on the Hill about this later in the day. Let's move to something else, though. Social Security. How long have you paid into Social Security? You know, we used to get them. They're not sending them out anymore, probably because people are scared to death and don't want to read the numbers. And if they're young enough, like my generation on down, they realize we're not joking when we say we really don't believe that Social Security is going to be for us. It's going to be there in the end. And I think I've paid into Social Security since since I've been 16 years old, because I used to have a job teaching tennis. That was my first real job. And Social Security was taken out of it. You know, money was taken out of it. And then all the other jobs I had along the way before broadcasting, in broadcasting, etc. So I know you all have similar tales. And we all jokingly say, and maybe we're not joking, we don't think it's going to be there. For goodness sake, we can't even get close to a balanced budget. We have no budget. $14 trillion in debt? Do you feel that confident that money is going to be there in the end? Somebody that I talked to when we went to Washington back in January, Congressman Javier Becerra, talked about Social Security and said that it's really a misnomer when we hear that the money's not going to be there, that we're not completely broke at all, and that there's still bucks left there. And this is more maneuvering by the Republicans. Take a listen.
When anyone says it's going broke, then we, by God, have to think about what's going on with the federal government's operating budget. If Social Security with $2.7 trillion in surplus is broke, what's going on with everything else? There is a surplus of $2.7 trillion. $1 trillion due directly to the contributions of Americans to their taxes, and $1.5 trillion, $1.7 trillion, due to the interest earned on those tax contributions. By law, Social Security cannot go broke, and it has never once contributed a dime to the deficits.
Yeah, interesting. So he's calling them out and saying we can't go broke. But there's a lot of things we can't do, Congressman, that unfortunately have been done to us that were supposed to not happen. Does that ease your pain at all, hearing what he had to say? And this is because there's been a real two-step around Social Security. And what's going to happen there, Kay Bailey Hutchinson, if you remember, she was saying that we're going to have to raise the retirement age, and every year we'd have to add a couple of months to it. So eventually, I don't know, you'd be able to retire when you're 90, maybe. Gone are the days of retiring in your 60s, unless maybe you have your own business or you're juggling that two-job thing that Dave Ramsey talks about. Well, if you're in debt, get a second job, get a third job, get a fourth job. And eventually you have no blood or pulse left in your body. I mean, I actually agree with Ramsey. I like Ramsey. I agree with him when he says, you know, you got to get rid of the debt and all that. But easier said than done, based on some of the limitations that many people have. They're not imagined. It's not about being lazy. It's not about any of that. It's just an impossibility. But I think this is kind of a shot across the bow. And maybe, and this is why we played this, maybe Becerra, who's a Democrat, coming out and talking about that, opens a bigger door for really true discussion about Social Security and what's going on and what's going to happen with it. And is somebody pilfering the pile when we're not looking. The people in North Dakota aren't so worried about the address in the nation, not because they don't care, because certainly they do, and many brave men and women have served our country from North Dakota, but they have a serious problem with flooding. And we've talked about this. What do you do in Minota? This is what they've had to deal with. What do you do when suddenly the river is so swollen and you're right in its path? Well, the answer is you got to hightail it out of there. But it's tough to leave your stuff. Tough to leave your stuff. That actually rhymes. You just don't want to do it. This is what you've poured your money into, your house. And I always fear that people will be left behind because they're just too stubborn to leave. It's sad and it's awful to watch it happen. We see it with fire and we see it with this flooding situation. But I think this drives the point home. Listen to this person talk about waiting to get out of the way and what it's like to see everything completely destroyed.
People just have to stand by and watch everything they own get ruined.
We just knew it was going to happen. We're just waiting. I wasn't leaving until they blew the sirens.
See, you hear what she said? I wasn't leaving until they blew the sirens. And if you think for a second that these kind of things can't happen to you, you got to think again. We're going to have more people. We're going to do a whole week where we have special guests talking about preparedness. People who have been right in the thick, right in the eye of a hurricane, or have seen their house come down around them. And also others who know seriously what you need to have at your fingertips if you have to make a run for it. And as much as I preach this when we talk about Mother Nature and the things that come up every single time we're doing a show on America Tonight, just recently I've started to take some of those precautions by having documents ready or whatever. At least some crackers and water, for goodness sake. Something in the car. A few blankets if it's wintertime. Coming up next, we're going to turn to the Casey Anthony trial in Orlando for the latest update. Hang with us.
The food storage industry leader has done it again. Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go. Now you can build food storage without going into debt. Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month. Our clubs work with everyone's budget. Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Local Army Navy surplus stores are hard to find these days, but not military issue supplies. They're right here online at mainmilitary.com. That's right, just like the state, M-A-I-N-E, military.com. We have everything for true, total preparedness. MaineMilitary.com is not a typical website. It has much more than your old surplus store. Quality military-issue survival gear like canteens, mess kits, utensils, gas masks, filters, and chemical suits, magnesium fire-starting tools, strike-anywhere, waterproof, and storm matches, first aid kits, splints, tourniquets, parachute 550 cord, military manuals, sandbags by the bale, and a huge Molly assortment of vests and pouches for every need. Call 207-989-6783, 207-989-6783, or visit mainmilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com. The Maine name in military supply.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Still serving 2 years. That's what he goes there for. He's to unlock the door. All around him, Christmas signs and sleep.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, all those nooks and crannies in between. It's the fifth week of the Casey Anthony trial in Orlando. Each and every week we go to Chris O'Donnell, who is covering the trial for a local TV station there, and boy, things have gotten really hot since the weekend. A lot of it centering around the defense attorney, Jose Baez, and what's going on with him and his witnesses, and apparently the prosecution saying they didn't know about several of the witnesses. Chris is here to sort it all out for us. Chris, thanks, as always, for popping on ATN.
Oh, you're very welcome, Kate.
So tell me about the scuffling over witnesses, and it started over the weekend, and the judge got upset, and what's happened since then?
Well, basically what happened on Saturday is that the defense attorney, Jose Baez, was going to call William Rodriguez to the stand. He did call him to the stand. Now, the state knew this, but when the gentleman got to the stand, he started testimony that went down this whole line of questioning involving duct tape. And the state objected, you know, rigorously. Is that the right word? Sorry, it's been
yes.
A long day.
I know.
Casey.
Yeah.
But the state objected and said, look, he's about to testify to something that was not in his report. Now, what happened was in December and January, the judge issued an order saying every single expert witness had to put their opinion in writing, they had to explain their opinion, and they had to give the reasons for that opinion and the foundation for that opinion. Well, this was never discussed. So the state said, wait a minute, we never knew this. This wasn't in the report. We couldn't even prepare for this. So out went Mr. Rodriguez. And then the state wanted to call another expert, a DNA expert from Holland. Same issue. He was about to testify to something that was not in his report. This happened on Monday. So, again, we were faced with the same issue. And so what happened was is the judge said, no, he's not going to testify until he can be deposed by the state. These things were going on simultaneously Saturday and Monday. So what happened was is we get to Monday, and Mr. Rodriguez can't testify. The DNA expert can't testify. Jose Baez did not have a third witness ready. So court ended early, and the judge was not happy because, of course, that wasted a whole day, and there was no testimony for this jury to hear.
Yeah, and in explaining that, you talk about how the expert witnesses, the foundation for what their testimony was going to be, and it was, you had to have it in the report. That was by the judge's request?
Yes, that was a judge's order in December, and then he amended that order in January because there were some issues involving that and disclosure. So what the judge said was, look, Mr. Baez, this has happened once. Mm-hmm. I could exclude this witness. That is the ultimate penalty, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to allow the state to depose this witness, and we will figure it out from there. Well, we haven't heard from Mr. Rodriguez yet. We don't know if he's coming back. Now, the DNA analyst was allowed to testify, and he did testify to something called what he calls touch DNA. It apparently, according to him, is relatively common in Europe. It is not common here, but it basically is taking very trace evidence. If you touch something or grab, like, the handle of a shovel, you can get DNA from that. But he was going to go further about duct tape, and again, the state objected, and he was not allowed to testify on that issue. So that is why court was delayed. Today we had an early date, but that was because the judge had a prior engagement, so that was already planned. But the defense got through five or six witnesses today, but they were all criminal analysts, crime scene analysts, and of those witnesses of those natures.
You mentioned this about the duct tape, and that's fascinating about the touch DNA. I didn't even realize that. So touch DNA, we haven't had that in the United States. That's not something that's common.
It's not something that's common. There are a couple labs in the country. I believe Denver, New York City, and the FBI can certainly do this type of analysis. It's a sensitive analysis. And basically, the defense was trying to argue that if the state wanted to, it could have gotten DNA off that duct tape. But again, he wasn't allowed to testify in that regard, but he did testify about touch DNA in general. Now, this is a gentleman who does not have a master's degree. He has a bachelor's degree, and the state made that clear. And he and his wife started this company in Holland, and his wife basically started the company and made him president. So the state made sure to bring out those issues, and the fact that they've established a lab now in the United States, and that they want to generate business in this country. So, in the end, I think a lot of legal analysts looked at that, and so far the testimony from the last couple of days really did not put the defense ahead at all.
Yeah. Something else that happened, and this is going back a little bit, too, over the last couple of days, but it made big headlines anyway. For everybody listening, a few people brought that up on America Tonight to me. The thing about the autopsy being shoddy, according to the defense, so this is obviously a direction that they're going. So it's trying to say that the autopsy wasn't done right?
Well, what's happened is their star witness, Dr. Werner Spitz, who is a gentleman who has a long history, is world-renowned in forensics. He worked on the O.J. Simpson case. He worked on the Kennedy assassination. So this man has been around for a long, long time. And his point was that anytime, as far as he is concerned, if you do an autopsy, you have to cut the skull in half. You have to open that skull and cut it in half, I think is what he said, but you have to slice it apart and look inside of it. And that was not done. So because that wasn't done, his whole contention is, well, what else wasn't done? He's not saying that any evidence could have been gained from that. But he was saying if that wasn't done, what else was missing? What else did they miss? However, in cross-examination, the prosecutor, Jeff Ashton, started asking him a lot of questions about the timeline because Dr. Garavaglia, when she made her assessment that it was a homicide, she looked at a number of factors, including the fact that Casey never reported or the child was never reported missing for 30 days. The child was found bound with duct tape in a wooded area. And those things to her suggested homicide. And when Jeff Ashton asked Dr. Spitz about that, he couldn't really give those details. He couldn't really say, well, all these things happened, and he didn't have a grasp from what it seemed, from what his testimony was on the stand. He didn't really have a grasp of those issues. That circumstantial evidence surrounding the case saying, well, look, all these things are adding up. These are huge red flags. And he never really addressed those issues nor really seemed to have a good handle on them. And it appears based on the jury reaction that he was making some headway with that.
Yeah. You and I talked about this already going in a different direction, but it is heavy speculation. And, you know, everybody from the paparazzi type of outlets like TMZ to more mainstream folks, to the cable outlets, the CNNs and the MSNBCs, and I mean, everybody's covering this trial. Certainly, you know that it's everywhere, and the bigger things that happen in court get the headlines. Like I mentioned, the comment about shoddy autopsy. A lot of people are talking about Casey Anthony taking the stand, and you and I said, I asked you about that, and you said it would be just circus times 10 if that happened, because everybody would want a seat in the courtroom to hear her testify. Do you think there is any shot at all that they may throw that curveball out there, that Baez may do that and shock the world?
You know, Kate, like I said, I think any guess we give right now, I mean, who knows? It's speculation. There's so many unexpected things that have happened in this case. I have no idea. I really don't have a feel for it. I know what I would do if it were me. And if you have watched any moment of either Linda Drain Burdick or Jeff Ashton cross-examining people, you wouldn't put her on the stand, because they will slice her story apart. I mean, right. Jeff Ashton really did a number, so to speak, on Dr. Warner Spitz, who is world-renowned. And this gentleman's credentials are impeccable. But you take somebody like Casey, who is an admitted liar, you put her on the stand. I can't even imagine what he would do. If I were the attorney and had, you know, I've been sitting there watching this every single day, I would never put her on the stand. Because if she starts saying that the baby drowned and, you know, my father helped cover it up, the state has put together some evidence that they say refutes all of that. And there was a big discussion about that this week as well, because the state claims that during a forensic analysis of her computer, of the hard drive, they have found evidence that completely refutes all that. And there was a scuffle about that as well. And Jose Baez was admonished as well by the judge, because the state wants to admit this and possibly use this in rebuttal if they put her on the stand.
Yeah. Do you, does Baez, because I've only seen shots of him, is there any indication, and of course he's going to be cool as a cucumber, but you talk about the prosecution, obviously the best from what I understand, and you mentioned, as you called it, what a number they did on Dr. Warner Spitz, a guy with amazing credentials. When you look at the other side of it, the defense team and Baez, what is the sense that you get from him? Is he really trying to play that poker face because he's got this job of defending, as you said, an admitted liar?
You know, it's hard to tell. I mean, just based on objectively, if you look at what is going on in the courtroom, I mean, the prosecution has been there, done that. They have been through this. They have had at least 30 capital murder cases. They have a record of something like 27 for 30. These guys are pros. They know what they're doing. Jose Baez, when he got this case, when Casey Anthony contacted him, had only been practicing law for 2 years. I mean, just look at the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
He does not have the experience the same way. If you listen to his line of questioning and how he goes about soliciting testimony from the witnesses, a lot of times what happens is under cross-examination, Jeff Ashton will step up there and start making this defense witness a witness for the state, because he's so good at it. He's been doing it for so long. And I think just sheer, and when you put experience into the mix, I don't think there's no way that Mr. Baez can compete with that. He just doesn't have that time in the courtroom like the prosecutors do.
Yeah. Yeah, good assessment of that. Chris O'Donnell, as always, we appreciate you coming on America Tonight and telling us what's happening there in Orlando. As you said, you're there each and every day. We'll talk to you again next week, and thanks.
Ready to save? Then you're ready for the Super Summer Sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Herbal Healer has been the leader in quality natural supplements for 23 years. Log on to HerbalHealer.com and take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on 500 parts per million colloidal silver. The best pharmaceutical grade available at all sizes on sale. Super Male Plex with Uhimbe and Super Femplex for summer toning. Buy glucosamine chondroitin 60 caps summer sale priced at only $12. Colon Enhancer 250 caps summer sale priced at just $18. And if your brain's a little foggy, we have a great supplement on sale called Memory Power. Log on and hit the postcard specials link for more super summer savings at herbalhealer.com. As always, new customers get a free catalog with first order. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature one person at a time.
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass way stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali-C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. And the answer is, Ali-C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali-C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boost resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali-C.
Here's where we highlight entrepreneurs across the country who are doing amazing things. I say this all the time that I read a statistic, 90%, at least 90% of the businesses across the U.S. are small businesses. And remember, the definition of a small business is 500 employees or less. I'm all about food, Italian food especially. And there's a great restaurant that I've frequented since I moved to the Dallas area that I want to share with everyone across the country. It's called Luigi's. And I never realized what was going on, but I would see people leave Luigi's with styrofoam cups, not filled with what they were drinking, but with salad dressing. So you're going to love this. The people who own Luigi's decided, and this is a real leap of faith when people do this, you know what? So many people went to salad dressing. Why don't we make it? And when you go and you make your own product, as I've known many people who have done that, and we've talked to many of them across the country in New York and Vermont and Illinois and Florida, when you go and you jump into this on your own and you're not with a big company, a lot of times it's hard to get your stuff on the shelf. You got to keep on pounding. You got to talk to the right people. You got to package it right and whatnot. So I'm very excited to welcome Dritten Saliaski to the show. He is the man behind Moni's Dressing, and Moni's Dressing is popping up all over the place. Whole Foods for one, Costco's another one. They're grabbing a hold of this thing. Also Market Street, and a lot of people are familiar with that. And I know many people shop at Whole Foods. That's where I go anyway. And so it's on the shelves. Dritten, congratulations, because what an exciting time this must be for you as you have literally given birth to a product. How cool is that? Do you sometimes have to pinch yourself when you think about it?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. And it definitely is something that you kind of ask yourself, is this really happening? And kind of all the effort that you put into it, it's almost like a dream, and reality hits you, and it's kind of a shock. It's really exciting.
Yeah. What was the turning point for you when you decided, okay, so many people are leaving the restaurant, we're giving them our dressing, geez, maybe we ought to make this stuff? When did you decide that?
Well, I really, you know, I grew up in the business. My parents have really been in the restaurant business since I was born. I was literally, you know, I the first 4 years of my life, I was on top of pizzeria in New Jersey. So, that was what I knew. And growing up, I slept on bags of flour in the kitchen, literally. And I see people going out of the restaurant with dressing and in the cups. My parents would sell it to them, and they'd always say, "Why don't you bottle it? Why don't you bottle it?" And I always had an entrepreneur side to myself, and I thought, you know, one day I'm going to come back and I'm going to bottle this stuff. And I didn't want to do the restaurant business. It was a tough, it was just a really tough thing growing up for me. You know, your father's not around. You know, you wake up at 7 a.m. to go to school, and he goes to work at 9 a.m. and gets home at midnight. So you don't really see your parents very often. So I knew I didn't really want to do the restaurant, but I got put into it, and I purchased a restaurant when I was young. But I knew that this was really where it was going to happen. And we tried it out in 2007, and it really didn't work that well. But a couple of years ago, we really made a little breakthrough, and was able to package it correctly with, you know, cost involved and everything. And we just, you know, we landed one account, and it was, you know, the rest was history, and it's really become a huge success.
I love the story about the fact that you were sleeping on flour bags in your father's restaurant. And in New Jersey, I'm from Jersey, too. Where was this in New Jersey that you grew up?
Patterson. I can't say I grew up there. I was born there, and I lived there for a few years, and I was born in Patterson. Yeah, off River Street, if anybody's familiar with it. Tony's Pizza. There was a couple apartments on top of it. A family friend of ours owned the Tony's Pizza, and we grew up on top, and, you know, we lived there for a while, and then my parents had a little bar there, and they came to Dallas during the, you know, right when the oil boom in the 80s, and actually Moni came down here and invited all the brothers and sisters that are on the bottle right now to come down and open up restaurants down here, because it was kind of, you know, it was happening. It was the happening place to be then. And, you know, they started opening up restaurants. And now between all the brothers and sisters on the bottle, they've opened up they can attribute to over 200 restaurants in Texas that we've opened that all serve a concoction of the Moni's house dressing.
Cool. Who's Moni? Tell us who Moni is then.
Moni is my mom's brother. My mom's the youngest of all the brothers and sisters, and Moni is one of the brothers, and he's kind of he's the big culinary guy behind all of our restaurants. And he, you know, through the years, he always tried to, he wanted to package it as well. He could never do it. He always ran into problems. Obviously, you have to be real persistent. And so I kind of, out of respect, everybody says, "Oh, it's my dressing, but really it's Moni's dressing, and that's who really came up with the salad dressing. There's a little history behind that as well. And so I went to him, and my mother and I went to him, and I said, "Hey, you know, I want to respect your name, and I want to put it on the bottle, and I want you to, you know, give me the blessing that I can bring this to market." And he said, "Hey, you know what, I've tried it, and it didn't work for me, and if you can do it, more power to you." And I don't think he ever expected it to really do what it's done, you know, in such a short period of time.
Yeah, and did you start with the – because I had this today, by the way, on my spinach salad. It was awesome, of course. The house is what I had, the original. But you have other versions of this. I think you have at least three out, right?
Right now, yeah, we have the it was funny because, you know, my idea, I didn't know much about the industry initially, so I kind of – we bottled the house dressing, and we brought it to our first partner, which was United Supermarkets, Market Street, and they saw it and they said, "You know, it's great. It's a very unique product that we see it as being actually a new category in salad dressing, but there's a catch. You can't put one product on the shelf. You have to have multiple products." So it took a little bit of time, and we developed a light version of the house dressing, which is, need I say, one of the healthiest dressings in the market. It's also 0 points on the Weight Watchers, which is a huge
Ooh.
Selling point. It's our number one seller now, which is a light version of the house. And then we have a balsamic country for people that don't really count their calories. It's an absolutely fantastic balsamic oil and vinegar. And those are the three products we have now. We aren't developing new products per se as quick as other companies do, because we're really very keen on making sure that it's a short ingredients list. It's all natural and everything's fresh. It's not something we just, you know, put some MSG and some preservatives and throw it on the shelf. So we're pretty adamant about having quality in our products. So it kind of hampers the possibility of growing too quick.
Yeah, the mass production. Where do you produce the dressing?
You know, the cool thing is, you know, when we when we first started up, this was back in 2007, I did a little bit of research, and we actually obtained a FDA-approved manufacturing facility in one of the restaurants. It's a little daunting task you have to do and get some approval from the state and from anti-terrorism acts and all kinds of food safety. So we got that done at the restaurant. So we started manufacturing at the restaurant, actually. And of course, that soon became impossible. So we actually we partnered with a plant in Dallas. So now we're producing in a manufacturing plant. So it's actually mass produced at 500 to 5,000 gallons at a time, depending on obviously the order. So it's a pretty cool process that you see your product go from from making it in a little bowl with some ladles and then going into a mixer and then now being produced on a line is pretty cool. But yeah, we do produce it in Dallas, so it's a local Texas product too.
Yeah, plus made in the USA, which a lot of people are talking about that, how big that is, even with food, clothes, et cetera. So good for you. That's great. What are the plans ultimately? Are you just make it even bigger, spread it out nationwide further?
Well, we have short-term and long-term goals. Our short-term goal, we have philosophies in the company, and one of the philosophies is always to take care of our vendors before we take the next step. So we make sure that we've really done as much as we can for a vendor before we take on another partner, as we like to call them. And right now we've just recently taken on Costco. So we're really focusing on Costco for the next at least 90 days to make sure we've made them happy and the product starts moving. And I would say in the fourth quarter, we plan to go regionally with our distributors. We're two of the largest distributors in the U.S., which is UNFI and KeHE, set up with them here soon. And we plan to go regional. So we're going to be doing Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, New Mexico, and Oklahoma. And so that's our plan. And then by the second quarter of 2012 is when we're going to think about going to the West Coast, which would be Rocky Mountain region. And then kind of spread from there. The food specialty really focuses more on the West Coast than it does the East Coast. But we've heard people tell us go to the East Coast because it's an Italian product. It's a great product. So we'll kind of let it do its own thing after we go to the regional scale. It's going to actually, as it's done now, it's growing itself. It's really taking on its own life per se.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on the success you're having and continued success. Dritten Salioski, thanks for joining us. Moni Salad Dressing, look for it in a couple of years. Who knows? Worldwide, you never know. Thanks, Dritten.